So who is the person who assailed the god? That is Akhenaten. He's forgotten. The old religion has been restored. A few years after the reign of Akhenaten and Nefertiti, with the restoration of the Amun priesthood, we have new kings, and one of them is King Tut, Tutankhamun. The famous find of the grave of Tutankhamun in 1923 revolutionized Western attitudes towards Egypt and Egyptian art, and it caused a great deal of excitement in the West. In fact, it still causes excitement because museums throughout the world make sure to show some of these artifacts every few years, and they always get an audience. And people flock to the great archaeological museum in Cairo to see the grave goods from Tutankhamun's tomb. So there's an inscription from the era of Tutankhamun describing the restoration of the kingship and defaming Akhenaten. So this is from the tomb of King Tut. The new ruler, performing benefactions for his father Amun and for all the gods, has made what was ruined to endure as a monument for the ages of eternity, and he has expelled the great criminal, and justice was established. Let me stop there for a moment. Akhenaten cannot even be mentioned. He's referred to as the great criminal, the rebel, the one who tried to destroy the religion of the empire. To return to our text, he fashioned his father Amun upon 13 carrying poles. This goes into a long description of the early years of Akhenaten's reign when he was still serving the god Amun. So King Tutankhamun tells us that Akhenaten made certain gestures towards the god, but I, he says, have made greater gestures. And I have restored all the temples. All the property of the temples has been doubled and tripled and quadrupled in silver, gold, lapis lazuli, every kind of august, costly stone, royal linen, white linen, fine linen, olive oil, gum, fat, incense, myrrh, without limit to any good thing. His Majesty, life, prosperity, health, has built their barks, these are the floating barges, built their barks upon the river of new cedar from the terraces. They make the river shine. So we get the picture of the old order falling with Akhenaten's reign, the old priesthood, the old myth, and then we get the restoration of the old myth and the old worship with the kings of the dynasty that Akhenaten rebelled against. And as we have seen in this inscription, if Akhenaten is remembered, it's only as the great criminal. Now, during this 10-year reign, Akhenaten and Nefertiti not only revolutionized the religious idea of ancient Egypt, they revolutionized its art, an art that art historians today call Amarna art. And it is very rich in depictions of the natural world and in the pleasures of this life. There are many pictures of dancers, musicians, banquets, people hunting in the marshes. They love to depict this, and they did it in vibrant, beautiful colors. And in some of the great museum collections, you can see these paintings. You can also see many copies of them, because in the 1910s and 20s, American artists, many of them financed by an expedition from New York's Metropolitan Museum of Art, went to Egypt to copy these paintings. And you can see them hanging in New York. In the art of the period, along with the depiction of the natural world, you have pictures of Akhenaten, Nefertiti, and their six daughters sitting under the sun's rays, under the beneficent rays of the Aten. No, they weren't tanning, as one of my witty undergraduates put it. It wasn't a tanning salon. It was a religious idea. The power of the sun god was coming down and blessing them. And out of the rays of this depicted sun, some of the rays have human hands at the end of them. And these hands are blessing the seated royal family.